that.
No, right? John, you are exactly right, though. It's crazy. And look, it's a team that struggled on offense last year. They've got some issues that they're dealing with. You got to keep the momentum going and keep the momentum going and go, you know, keep beating up on an opponent that had trouble last week and show that you're still can be a dominant defense and fly around the ball. As far as their defense, they have a very good front seven, even with some of their issues and injuries they're having on that side of the ball as well. But that's a great test for the first string offense. And you'll probably see them go more than they did last week, probably at least 2 to 3 series as well. Mm-hmm. And that'll be good to see how you adjust and see if you can get the running game going a little bit too.
And you could say arguably on the back end, they got 2 of the top corners as well, Revis and Cromartie. I mean, this is a good test for the receiving corps. This is a good test for the younger guys and to see how they match up with guys like that. And also you talk about the front seven of guys like Richardson and Sheldon, Muhammad Wilkerson, Copels. I mean, they got a front seven that can get after you. And we talk about all the struggles they have on offense, and that's why it's been – so documented of why this is such a big deal, because they bring in Brandon Marshall. You got Eric Decker, who last year became your number one guy. You got Devin Smith on the outside as well. They got some weapons on offense, and they just need somebody to pull the trigger. Right now, they're behind the eight ball when they really need to be getting this time in right now. But if I'm the Falcons, I don't care.
Right.
I go give it to them. I show exactly what we're about. We work on us. Don't worry about them. And at the end of the day, if you go out and you don't perform, it looks like, hey, you're not on that level yet. So you got to go out and put your best foot forward regardless of who steps on the field with you.
Yeah, and you look at the quarterback situation there. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been around the league. He's been in starting roles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that you know, he hasn't exactly put up great numbers since his days with the Buffalo Bills, but, I mean, he's got familiarity with Chan Gailey. So he understands what that offense is. He understands what that offense is trying to do. He's just maybe a little bit behind right now. I think the important thing to remember in this game, however, is that neither side is game planning for the other side.
Course.
So there's not going to be a whole lot of like trickery and all that other stuff. Teams don't want to show too much during this time, but I think this is a really good chance to see where your offensive line is at, as Matt mentioned, but also it helps you prepare for a defensive front that you're going to face in week 4 in Houston. I mean, the Jets might have one of the best defensive front sevens in the entire league, and then you're going to play another one coming in week 4 when the games matter. I think getting some good tape, really kind of breaking down some of the good points, the bad points during a second preseason game is good preparation for a couple of these
games. I'll point out one thing. Going from preseason 1 to game 1 to game 2, there's a little bit different as far as how you plan for it. Mm-hmm. There's not an all-the-way game plan, but I remember we were going to preseason game 2, and we weren't playing all the way forward, but we would also have a couple things here and there that we know that they do. Okay, let's say we get in the red zone, and we know they're going to play full cross once we get inside the 10-yard line. Let's put our best plays in knowing they're going to play this type of defense. So it's not going in knowing first, second, third down, knowing what they're going to do. You have a couple things that you really want to work on so that you have a little bit of game plan. It's nothing like game 3. It's nothing like game 1, but it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more for the young guys to say, all right, here's a sample size of kind of things we will do once the season happens.
You know, you mentioned the game plan, but something that's not mentioned a lot, and you see it on Hard Knocks, you saw it here last year, a lot of these guys, it's their first time getting on a plane with an NFL team. Mm-hmm. And I know we've all had our moments. Granted, we're behind the scenes and you played in the league. You have that moment of the first time you go, okay, I've got to get on this flight, and now I've got to figure out what – so nobody's standing in line going, okay, you've got to go here.
Yeah.
You're literally handed an envelope, and they go, this is where you're expected to be, and this is where you better be at this time.
Yeah.
Don't be late. How do guys react to that first time playing in front of an NFL road crowd? And I think that's a big story as well.
Big story. And I think a lot of guys, especially young guys, they got to get those first couple hits or first couple minutes out the way and realize, all right, this is what it's about. I played in big-time college games, or I played on the next level now. Now it's time to put that aside and say, I got to go play football. And the first part of it is the initial shock, really. Yeah, just exactly what you said, John. They hand you a card and say, all right, here's your room number. Here's what you got to do. Here's your whole game plan for the weekend. Nobody's going to call you on your phone and say, all right, this is where you got to be. You don't have the monitors in the locker room that shows you what time you got to be somewhere. You got a card. You lose it. You lose your card, whatever it is. You're going to be in trouble. So this is the first real step for guys to say, all right, this is how big league football is going. This is how you got to really be a part of big-time football.
Hey, and you have to deal with, you know, you veteran pranksters.
Sneaking in rooms.
Thank goodness Coy Wire isn't on the team anymore.
Right? Sneaking in rooms.
Because he would be in the shower waiting for you and pop out like, surprise.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Coy Wire, you should be glad he's not on the trip, because these guys would have heart attacks. All right, so, John, here's what we do at this point.
Okay.
Speaking of a guy who's making his first road trip this weekend.
Oh, Bo.
You guys got to take care of him. But what we do now is break with Bosek. Mr. Brian Bosek, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. All right. I got a good question for you, hopefully.
All
All right.
Might be up to standards. If you were to add a head to Mount Rushmore, who would it be? Or if you were to completely change the four people on Mount Rushmore, who would they be?
Is this a serious change, or is this just
a political show?
Right. Does it have to be political? Have to be that way?
John, Bosek's been struggling with this break with Bosek.
Right? Yeah, it's been a little bit of a...
I asked him beforehand. I said, I'm not real big into politics. Like, I'll talk sports all day, but
yeah.
Matter of fact, don't even ask me the four guys that are on there.
Can we?
Yeah, right.
That's the question you should ask.
We can get these four faces on there, right?
I don't know if there's enough room for the four heads up there.
Probably not. I'm going with James Polk.
What?
I got to give the love to the big guys, man.
I'm going
to
go with them. When they're Garfield?
There was a Garfield. We're going Garfield here.
You're talking about the cat or the president?
Either one.
I'm
dealer's choice, John.
I'm going to go with
the cat.
I'm going to go with my favorite character in the movie, which is Sylvester Stallone, Rocky IV.
Rocky IV,
Sylvester Stallone.
When he's against the Russian?
When he gets the Russian, no doubt about it.
All right, hey man,
you like that?
I'm
with that.
That's good. I like that.
You say Garfield. How can you laugh at Rocky? You can't laugh at me. Like James, and you said Garfield. Oh, okay.
Well, mine will be pretty easy. I mean, he's going that route. I've got to go with the people's champ, the great one, The Rock. The Rock says, know your role and put me on a mountain.
I'm changing mine.
He's just seen Ballers too much. That's what that is, though.
I'm going with Arnold Schwarzenegger from Predator, if we're going that route.
Is that with the mud on his face?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Full mud. There you go.
For sure. I'm sticking with Polk. I'm sticking with Polk.
That's great.
You sure it's not who's that sitting on your desk in your office? Who we always talk about? You got some sitting on his desk. What is it? We always talk about he has some sitting on his desk.
The honey bear?
I'll put a honey bear on. I don't care.
That's a fair Mount Rushmore ad, the honey bear.
Now, isn't there a follow-up question to this, Brian?
Yeah.
There was.
Getting the hang of this, John.
To tie it to the Falcon cast, that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Which Falcon would you add, or which four Falcons?
Does it have to be a current, or it can be former?
It could be former.
I think you could really do a whole show on which four Falcons could go on.
That's a good
Rushmore.
Show.
Right.
That would be a really, really good show. I'm going with James Polk, though.
You're going Nick Polk.
Nick Polk.
Or DeJuan Polk.
DeJuan Polk. We got a couple of Polks in the organization now.
There you go. I'm going DJ Shockley.
Oh, you.
Oh, look at this.
I'm on there. That was an awesome answer right there.
That's good.
Show is over.
I'm going to go Hacksaw Jim Duggan because I really think that, he spent a training camp with the Falcons years ago.
Okay.
And I don't think he gets nearly enough credit.
I'm going to go with. He played for San Fran, played for Dallas, but he is a Falcon. Prime time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Prime time. Put prime time up there with some goals on and everything.
Maybe the greatest humanitarian of all Falcons. Warrick Dunn.
Yeah. That's
I mean, if you
one.
Want to put a guy up there in
that's
all seriousness, Wheezy. Put Warrick Dunn up there.
Wheezy.
That's absolutely. My guy. If you want to go completely off the cuff, I want Dave Archer up there, but punching somebody in the head as he's known.
Now the Dave Archer statue of him body slamming the guy in the World League Championship over the Gatorade table, that would be a great statue.
That would be amazing.
I'd help fund that.
Yeah.
Arch.
Kickstarter absolutely. For that.
Can we put Wes up there as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Wes will fit somewhere.
Got it. We'll get him up there somewhere.
I don't need him texting me saying, hey, you're going to put Arch up there and not me?
Oh, yeah, that's happening. That's happening.
All right, Bosek, let's go video of the week.
Actually, I want to do something first.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Matt prepared some pictures of his memories.
No, sweet.
You want to do videos?
All right, no, we can do that. So this is my you guys asked me to kind of do like a, a top five, top ten. Here are five little photos that I think about of my tenure here at the Falcons.
Okay.
This was my first
Algernon.
First ever game with the Falcons.
Algernon.
2004 at Candlestick Park. 21-19 when Algie had a great game.
Algie had a lot of great games.
Next. Mm-hmm.
Algernon,
you guys remember this?
I remember walking
how
out.
How could you not remember this when you drove into work and these ladies were throwing stuff at my truck every day?
I remember coming out for practice and it was like a circus. It was ridiculous.
Can I tell you that was the easiest, most disgusting radio I ever had to do? It literally was, hey, we're going to talk Mike Vick, and there would be phone lines. Literally.
Now we're going to go to Jim in a car.
See, but what was really funny about that training camp, because I covered it for the Macon Telegraph back in the day, is you had obviously most of the media there for the Michael Vick situation, but then you had another contingent of media that was there for Japanese superstar.
Kinoshita Noriaki.
There he is. And, playing wide receiver for the Falcons. That was incredible.
That was like, how could you get more madness at this camp? So like, well, you have the news. When the news, awesome. They always said when the news comes.
It was quick, man.
You're in trouble.
Right.
So the news was there. You had your regular beat guys covering the Falcons along with the Vic situation. And then you had the Japanese contingent.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there was a late, like, the reporter would have like a jersey on.
I remember that. I used to tell him every single play because he didn't speak a lot of English. So yeah. I had to tell him what he had. He'd be in the huddle like this. And everybody breaking, he'd still be standing there looking at me.
I mean, like I said, I could have done a whole show on memories.
Curl.
But Noriaki, my favorite moment.
He was a good dude, though, man.
That I can tell. My favorite. I have two great stories. One I can't tell on air. If you ever see me, I'll tell you. The other was the greatest when we're on the sideline in the media area, and mm-hmm. the players would line up right in front of you on the sideline, and the Olympics were going on in the Summer Olympics in Beijing. And Roddy White just nudges Kinoshita and goes, hey, man, did you see U.S. whoop Japan's ass? And Nori was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I did.
Trying to relate to him, man.
All right, number three, Bosak. How about this?
My man TJ Duncan.
So the reason that's in there, this was against the Rams. I in my 12 years, two times I almost got to the chip. And this was one of them. We won the divisional, beat the crap out of the Rams, and my man Duckett did the little nail in the coffin. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So that was I'll never forget that. That was also my first year, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. Go to the NFC Championship.
Biggest dude I had ever been around right there.
And didn't win another playoff game until this next moment. How can you forget that? This is always good. I'll always remember that.
If you look in the video very closely under the goalpost where he kicks the winning kick, I'm under there, and I go sprinting off like a maniac. And I grabbed one of the Pear-Rap guys and picked him up like it was a Stanley Cup trophy. I ran over to the crowd right there behind where we do the pregame coverage and stood there like I was Cam Newton. Wes is trying to throw to me. My headphones were off.
Got nothing.
My box is over there somewhere. The microphone's in pieces.
You know, it's great. I mean, when we went down, I mean, like you said, like that first moment was a long time ago for me. And I'm like, dude, this is the team. We're beating them. We're going to go to the NFC. We're going to host the NFC Championship. We got this. And then we go down. And I'm on the sideline with our intern at the time. And after we win that, I kind of gather myself. The range of emotions.
Right.
I can't even tell you. It took a couple years off my life.
Yeah.
But I told him. I said, "Hey, man, I probably said some things that I really regret. And just let's just forget about what I said when we went down. And
let's
go on to the next one, man." It was. I mean, what a range of emotions.
Yeah, Matt probably told you, listen, if you want a job, you better not repeat anything.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the least professional I've ever been during a broadcast.
Oh, probably me too.
Absolutely.
I was pouring sweat. I'm pacing back and forth. You know, Thomas Dimitroff is down. He's looking at me like, what's wrong with our radio guy?
Why? You know what's great, though, is like the Monday when we went in, Rich McKay kind of said the same thing to me. He was down there, President Rich McKay. And he goes, man, I probably said some things I shouldn't have said when I went down. I go, I just told my guy the same thing. Like, I also said some things I shouldn't have said. It was just – that was a moment I forget. And then number one, this one's close to Jay and I's heart.
D-Block.
One of the coolest things I've done here, and Jay and I were the brainchild of this, and we really, I think
– my dog Mike P.A., man.
That was the year after. That was when D-Block wasn't as good because Mike P. wasn't there, but it was still great. But that was just something fun we did, and I'll never forget like how that kind of took storm. And really was cool.
Picnic getting on you right there, like he ate grilling you right there.
I'll never forget being in the press box right before we were playing the Washington Redskins that year, and I look up and they got ESPN on and they're showing D-Block, and I'm like, no way.
Money. And then I remember when I knew we had kind of like done something cool. Jay was when we were on the road and the guys came out and you hear like D block. I'm like, oh, people are watching this.
D block was more than a show on the website.
It was cool.
It was awesome.
It was cool. But before we get to the video of the week, you know, if I can say, you know, it's been unbelievable. The fact, you know, it's a hard decision to leave this. I'm not leaving the organization because it's the same organization, different teams, but. It's hard, man. I've had some great memories here, and you guys, meeting you guys, that's the best part. And just the, you know, so it's hard, but I do know it's the right thing, and I'm excited. And really am excited that John's taking my place because it's going to go even smoother, and it's going to be a great transition. But I appreciate all you guys.
Congrats, man. No pressure. Congrats.
None whatsoever. Now I got to come up with something creative. Call it J Block. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. You know, the one thing and Matt, you guys have always been great to me. And I say when I came on with the Falcons, this will be my fifth season. I can't believe it's already been 5 years. But that first time you walk in and you know, we mentioned this with the rookie, eyes wide open. I'm going, man, that's Matt Ryan right there. Like, I talk about him on the radio, but he's literally walking by me. And to be accepted and you guys to think enough to bring me on is fantastic. I mean, I can't say enough about that. For a native South Floridian to now say, okay, Atlanta is home and the Falcons are my team. It's great. And I'm going to miss you on the road. You've always been a great guy to hang out with on the road. Try to keep me out of trouble while I try to keep you out of trouble. It didn't always work, but, we tried to do the same.
Yeah, that's some of the bars and restaurants are going to be like, we made a lot more money last year when the Falcons were here. So
well, Squidbilly is back on the road.
Yeah, so that's good.
So the Pabst Blue Ribbon sales are going to go through the roof.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's good. All right, hold on.
Before we get to the video of the week, I got to give my my two cents as well. Because, Matt, you gave me my first job here with the Atlanta Falcons with, you know, the stuff we've been doing, what's brewing and all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate you for all you do, man. It's been an awesome thing to, you know, be a part of this. And then you invited me into Falcon Cast. Jay accepted me like a brother of Falcon Cast. And I remember you guys giving me a call and say, hey, we got some ideas. And we met right up the street at the little Mexican place up there and, you know, had a couple, you know, waters and, you know, stuff. But I didn't know what to expect. Just get into it. And you believed enough in me to, you know, have me on. Yeah. And now we're, you know, 2, 3, 4 shows in. And I really appreciate it, man. Absolutely,
well,
man.
And you know, I tell everybody that, you know, you, as good as you were, you know, as I rooting for you at Georgia, not knowing you as a Bulldog fan, and then having to be around you as a player, and now as a professional broadcaster, you're one of the best in the biz, man. And you guys are going to do awesome things, and it's going to be great.